Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 375. Welcome back after a relatively long holiday hiatus. The reason that I took some time off is because my voice sometimes doesn't work so well after Yom Kippur and then after Simchas Torah, but now we're back. And so we've begun this past Shabbos with Parshas Bereishis. We're going to be moving on throughout the next bunch of weeks through Sefer Bereishis. And of course, one of the classic questions is asked by Rashi in the opening line of his commentary. He says, he quotes a Medrash, Amar Rav Yitzchak lo hayotzerech lahaskel es haTorah, elo mehachodesh hazeh lochem. Why did the Torah begin from Bereishis bara Elokim, the story of creation, going through all of the stories subsequent to that moment, until we meet Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and finally the Jewish people? Why do we need to tell all of those stories? Really, we could have just begun from the very first mitzvah that was commanded to all of the Jewish people, which was HaChodesh HaZalachem in Shemos Yud Beis. And so we have the entirety of Sefer Bereishis, and we have the first 11 and a half chapters of Sefer Shemos, which seem, according to Rashi's assumption, and this Medrash's assumption, to be unnecessary, because he thinks that the goal of all of Torah, or the main point of Torah, is, as the word Torah means, it's about instructions. Now, instructions are, do this, don't do that. What do we learn, or what is the goal of all of these stories? Rabbi Navachia puts the question even sharper. He says, V'hakavana lomar, ki kiven shehamitzos heim ikra ha-Torah. The whole goal of the Torah is not to be a book of science, it's not to be a book of history, it's not literature, but it's the goal is, lo hayirayu lios pesach, if the goal is all about mitzvos, and it's to guide our lives, the things we are to do, specifically to do this, don't do that. What's the point? What's the goal of speaking about the creation of the world? Now, it's critically important, of course, that we know something, that there was a creator, but that could have been passed down from generation to generation. It could have been part of like some body of, I don't know, Kabbalah. It didn't have to be written in the Torah. And so he's focused on the moment of creation, the actual act of creation. He's less focused on the story subsequent, but this is a very strong and powerful question. Rabbi Yitzchak, who asks this question, some people thought that it's Rashi's father, Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo ben Yitzchak. They thought he was his father was an ignoramus, and therefore he threw him a bone, so to speak, and said, hey, listen, Dad, why don't you ask a question to start the entire commentary? Won't that be great? And the only question he could muster is, why does it start with the word Bereishis? I mean, if you're an Amoritz and you don't know that much, it would take you a long time to figure out that really the book of Torah is about mitzvos. So actually, starting at Bereishis, the word Bereishis is the perfect thing to begin with. It says in the beginning, why would you ask that question? But that theory has been thoroughly debunked. It's not his father. There's a Rabbi Yitzchak, and the Rabbi Yitzchak asks this in the Medrash Tanchuma. It's a strong and very powerful question. What is the goal of Sefer Bereishis? So Rashi's answer is very interesting, because Rashi is very specific about the goal. Whereas one might suggest there are all sorts of reasons, and there are all sorts of lessons to be learned. And maybe, as we'll hopefully have time to see, there are lessons throughout all of these stories, or an overarching lesson throughout all of these stories, that is just one more mitzvah, or one other mitzvah applied to life. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi answers, he brings from a pasuk in Tehillim. He says, the pasuk says, Koach ma'asav higid la'amo la'seis lahem nachlas goyim. The pasuk there means, Hashem spoke, or Koach ma'asav, the power of his deeds, he related to his people. Specifically, the deed of creation, creating the entire universe, he transmitted to people, L'seis lahem, the end of the pasuk is, L'seis lahem nachlas goyim, to give them their inheritance, their nation's inheritance, which specifically he understands to mean the land of Israel. So Rashi goes on to say, She'im yomer umos ha'olam l'Yisrael listematem, if the non-Jews, the Gentiles, say to the Jewish people, you're thieves, you're robbers, how could it be, you took Eretz Yisrael, shekivashtem artos shivagayim, because you took and you conquered the land of the seven nations that lived in Eretz Canaan before we got there, heimomrim lehem, so the Jews can respond. You can imagine this going on the United Nations floor, right? Heimomrim lehem kol Yisrael, kol ha'aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hi. The entire land belongs to God. Hu bara unasana la'asher yashar be'enav. He created it and he gave it to who he wanted to. Beretzona nasna lehem, beretzona lamehem, nasna lanu. He gave it to them, and then he changed his mind, or for some reason, decided that it shouldn't be him, and it shouldn't be them, and it should come to us instead. And so all of this, all of Sefer Bereishis, or at least the story, the account of Bereishis, is to show God as creator. And the goal of showing God as creator is specifically to remind us that we have the rights of Eretz Yisrael. We have the ultimate right over that land. Now, this is a very powerful statement, focusing on our right to the land of Israel. There's no question about that. But I think the question still exists. Why would this be the most important lesson to teach people? I mean, of all of the lessons, it's an important one. And it's something which not only is still relevant to this day, but for some reason, Rashi's suggestion of what our argument might be doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't seem to be the type of thing we can pull out. Hey, look at Bereshis. It says in the Bible that we own the land. It doesn't seem to be so compelling to those who claim otherwise. But Rashi seems to have this incredible emphasis on Eretz Yisrael being the goal, which tells you something about the power of Eretz Yisrael, tells you about the power of the justification. But the question also still remains, how do you need the entirety of Sefer Bereishis for this? So the Ramban explains beautifully. He says that really this is the entirety of Sefer Bereishis, because Bereishis isn't just about the story of creation, it's about all of the events that follow. He says how there's Gan Eden, and there's the Garden of Eden we read about on Parshas Bereishis, and it's the best place to be. And because they did something wrong, Adam and Chava, they are exiled from Gan Eden. And then you have the Anshei Dor HaMabul, the people of the generation of the flood, the Ramban says, were living in the world and enjoying the world, but then they behaved in a way where they could no longer live in the world. And then finally, their subsequent generations, the Migdal Bavel, the generation of the dispersion of the Tower of Bavel, they also were behaving inappropriately and could not remain where they were. And so to the Ramban, it's not just the act of creation that shows us about what it means to own the land, but it's the entirety of the book. The entirety of the book that we point to, and we say, this book is about what it takes to really own something that is important, whether it's Eretz Yisrael or whether it's Gan Eden or whatever it is. The goal of ownership is behavior. We have to behave a certain way, and if we don't behave a certain way, then unfortunately, we don't have the privilege of being in that place. And that's the entire theme of Sefer Bereishis. And so Rashi is correct. He's justifying this midrash. He's explaining it very well, the Ramban. And he says that is the entire idea of Sefer Bereishis, the ups and downs, the vicissitudes of what it takes to hold on to the land. That's one perspective. Another perspective might be a beautiful perspective of the Netziv. The Netziv, well known, he has an introduction to Sefer Bereishis. And in the Sefer Bereishis introduction, he points out that Chazal, the rabbis, called the book of Bereishis the Sefer HaYashar, the book of the just, the book of the upright, the book of the straight. And so he explains that the reason is because we have Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov always dealing with the other, the one who is from the Umos HaOlam, the one from the outside, in a very straight and appropriate way. And so, for example, his words, the Netziv's words, he says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashar, God is the Yashar, God is straight, ve'eno sovel tzadikim ka'elu. He does not tolerate righteous people who do not behave this way. Rather, instead, this was the praise of our forefathers, which, of course, their stories fill Sefer Bereishis. Besides for the fact that they were righteous, they were pious, and they loved God, ba'ofen hayosar efshar, in the greatest way possible. Od hayu yisharim. There were also this concept of yashar. Hainu shehisnagu im umos haolam. They behaved with the outside world, the other nations, those who were the other. Afilu ovid e'alilim nichu arim. Even terrible idol worshippers who behaved disgustingly, pagans, mikal mokam hayu imam bi ahava. They dealt with them. They had an incredible respect for the other. V'chashulu tavosam. And they cared for their well-being. Ba'asher hu kiyum habriya. In a way, which this is how you sustain the world. That is what life and living on this world with all of these other people are all about. And he gives examples. For example, he says how Avraham cared so much about Sodom, etc. And he says that's the goal of Sefer Bereishis, to teach us this behavior, this Sefer HaYashar type of behavior. Now Rashi, interestingly, if you look back at this Rashi, there's a lot to say here, but Rashi says, we're going to speak to the nations of the world, and we're going to justify our possession of the land of Israel, and Hu Bara, God created the world, He created it, Unasanul Asher Yashar Be'enav, and He uses that word. He says that we are going to, God is going to give it to those who are Yashar. The Yashar is the same word that Netziv focuses on in Sefer HaYashar. It almost sounds like the goal is, of this entire book, is to prove who is the most Yashar, who is the most upright. This might be a chizuk, like a little point of strength, when we talk about it and we think about how much the state of Israel in modern times works so hard to be yashar, how it has all sorts of rules of combat and all sorts of conditions in place of how we're able to engage with the enemy. And sometimes it feels like a double standard. It feels like a double standard. But if you look at this Rashi, the first Rashi, the story that begins all other stories, it's all about achieving yashrus and about really holding on to the land for those who really deserve it. Have a great day.